Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I'm Josh Hammer, and welcome back to America on Trial, your one-stop shop for all your legal news pertaining to the 2024 presidential election and all the major legal headlines affecting our country and our American way of life. It was a huge day for Donald Trump in New York City yesterday, and on today's deep dive, we will take a look about the big, big decision when it comes to his bond payment in Tish James's fraud case there in New York City. Later in the show, then, in today's closing argument, after we wrap up our rundown of Trump legal updates, we're going to get into what happened at the United Nations yesterday, an absolutely shameful and disgraceful abstention from the United States at the UN Security Council as it pertains to the war in Gaza, all of that later in the show. But first, it's time to go around the horn. Not a whole lot on the legal calendar for Donald Trump this week after yesterday's huge day. Do want to flag for you, and we'll start here in Georgia. The Georgia case hasn't exactly gone away, to put it mildly. Last we checked in, we had this mealy-mouthed middle ground, you might say a bespoke judicial remedy, trying to split the Solomonic baby, so to speak, from Judge Scott McAfee in Fulton County Superior Court there. But the certificate of immediate review was issued by Judge McAfee, which means that Donald Trump and his co-defendants are going to have an immediate right of appeal to potentially overturn McAfee's remedy at the appellate level. What that means in non-legalese is that there is a chance still that in the not-so-distant future, Fonnie Willis, the district attorney there, the unhinged district attorney there in Fulton County, Georgia, might still be disqualified from this case. We don't know yet. It remains to be seen. But on Monday, circle your legal calendar, on Monday, April 1st, there is an application for permission to appeal before the Georgia Court of Appeals when it comes to some of Donald Trump's co-defendants. That's going to happen soon. We are gearing up for that. Then the opposition motions are due, it looks like, on Thursday, April 11th. All of this is starting to play out. So hopefully by the middle to end of April, we will have an actual ruling on this. Looks like May 16th is actually, as of now, it's the last day. If I'm looking at this correctly, it's the last day for the Georgia Court of Appeals to actually issue a decision on whether or not Fonnie Willis is going to be disqualified. This is from the Georgia Appellate Court, so that's a ways away from now. Look, the upshot here is that the Georgia case is still looking extraordinarily unlikely to actually get to trial, let alone to get a verdict before November. But that's where we are there, just briefly checking in there. We then go from Georgia up to New York City. We're going to go deep today on the Tish James fraud case. Yet again, huge news when it comes to the bond payment yesterday. But in other New York City Trump legal drama-related news yesterday, we had an update in Trump's criminal prosecution case, in the Alvin Bragg case there in New York City. Last we checked in, that case was pushed back from March 25th start date, that would have been yesterday, all the way to April 15th. And this comes after a document back and forth between the federal prosecutor's office there in Manhattan, the SDNY, the Southern District of New York, and the DANY, the District Attorney's Office of New York. And this document back and forth essentially pertained to the fact that the feds had previously looked into the possibility of actually prosecuting Donald Trump on these underlying charges when it comes to hush money payments, when it comes to Stormy Daniels and Michael Cohen and the whole nine yards and all that. They ultimately decided not to. George Soros-funded Alvin Bragg, of course, has no such compunctions, which means that they went ahead and did so, but they pushed back the trial date to April 15th. Trump was actually physically in court yesterday there in the courtroom of Judge Juan Merchan, who was the judge presiding over this case. They were trying to push back the deadline even further. Trump's lawyers were. Again, Trump's legal strategy in many of these cases amounts to something of a run-out-the-clock motion here. And at the end of the day, the judge, Juan Merchan, is going to stick, as of now, with April 15th as the actual day for this trial to commence. That is when jury selection, that's when voir dire is actually going to commence here. Judge Merchant found that Alvin Bragg's office, quote, is not at fault for the late production of documents from the SDNY. And just some other kind of interesting quotes here. This is a quote from a Trump attorney representing him in this particular case. Todd Blanche is his name. This is Trump's attorney. Todd Blanche says, quote, there's a lot of news because Trump is running for president, which is another reason why he should not have to sit down for a trial now. So that was kind of the gist of what happened in Judge Juan Merchant's courtroom yesterday. Ultimately, the judge was not buying it. He gaveled out at the end of the hearing saying, quote, see you all on the 15th. So that's going to start on the 15th as of now. That remains by far the most likely of the four criminal cases to actually make it to trial and possibly even get a verdict and, dare I say, potentially even a conviction given the far-left nature of the jury pool in New York County, New York, and Manhattan. It's the most likely of the criminal cases to get to all of that prior to November, but it remains to be seen. In Trump finance-related news, Trump Media and Technology Group slated to debut on NASDAQ. So on Friday, they finally got their all of their investor approval to take Truth Social under the formal title of Trump Media and Technology Group. They finally got the title of all of this, or they finally got the permission of all of this to go public. And this is going to begin trading as a public company this Tuesday. It's under a stock ticker, DJT. That is huge news from the broader world of Trump that is happening today. The company is taking over the listing of Digital World Acquisition Corporation, which was the holding company there. Again, kind of funny that it's going to be trading under the ticker of DJT. The crucial bit of information here is that Donald Trump's stake in Truth Social, again, technically Trump Media and Technology Group, is very high. I mean, over 78 million shares currently valued at around $3.5 billion. You heard me right, $3.5 billion. I mean, your mileage may vary depending on your familiarity when it comes to stock overvaluations, undervaluations. You may or may not agree that that is a proper valuation or this or that there, but I'm just telling you that that is currently what his shares, based on the market value right now, that is currently what they actually value. And that is, that would be huge, to put it mildly. In fact, Bloomberg just reported on Monday that because of this, Trump's net worth hit a record high of $6.5 billion, which actually landed him in the world's wealthiest 500 people, at least on paper. Now, there's a share lockup agreement that would prevent Donald Trump from selling those shares for the first 6 months after the company goes public. He is almost assuredly going to try to get the board and investors to let him out of that, which would allow him to sell shares sooner rather than later so that he can start posting bond payments and pay legal fees and all of that there. Will be interesting to see whether he is able to do that. Of course, selling shares would have the natural effect of depressing the stock value. Lots of interesting stuff. But for now, just pay attention to the fact that this thing is going public, and it really cannot come at a more propitious time for Donald Trump given all of the financial hurdles that he is currently facing. Finally, the last update of today's Around the Horn segment, we go to Washington, D.C., where there is another big oral argument at the U.S. Supreme Court. Probably one of the final major oral arguments on the U.S. Supreme Court calendar for the 2023-2024 Supreme Court session. This is the case FDA versus Alliance for Hippocratic Medicine. I mentioned it on the show yesterday. This is a case pertaining to the FDA's rules for dispensing the abortion pill mifepristone. And essentially what is going on here is that you have pro-life doctors, you have abortion skeptical doctors, more religious doctors, as well as patients who have been wronged and harmed by the pervasiveness, if not outright ubiquity, of the abortion pill these days, who argue that the FDA's rules in 2016 and 2021 in particular amounted to improper easing of its restrictions on administering the drug. And in particular, in 2016, the FDA allowed nurse practitioners, not merely doctors, to prescribe the abortion pill. They also increased the gestational age for the unborn child from 7 weeks to 10 weeks. So think about that. According to the FDA, they unilaterally, at the end of the Obama administration, decided that a 10-week-old unborn child could be snuffed out in utero simply by the mother ingesting an abortion pill. And then 5 years later, in 2021, the FDA actually outright suspended its in-person requirement for dispensing the drug in the first place. Put another way, you don't even need an in-person appointment to get the abortion pill. Really, actually wild stuff there. That is all going to be heard at the U.S. Supreme Court today. Potential fireworks as it comes not just to the underlying substantive issue of abortion, but also to the broader separation of powers dispute here when it comes to the administrative state and the federal judiciary. That is the real tug of war that is actually going on here. Fascinating stuff from the constitutional separation of powers perspective. The lower court trial judge in this case, a wonderful jurist by the name of Judge Matthew Kaczmarek, issued a fairly sweeping preliminary injunction enjoining the FDA, the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Fifth Circuit, the court that I clerked on a number of years ago, had a mixed opinion at the appellate level, but I am proud to say that the judge that I clerked for, Judge James C. Ho, was the only judge on that three-judge panel to fully uphold Judge Kaczmarek's injunction. In any event, we will see what the nine Supreme Court justices do today in that case. That's it for today's Around the Horn updates. Up next in today's deep dive, huge news for Donald Trump. The news of the day yesterday was what happened in the Tish James fraud case in New York City. Stay tuned. You're not going to want to miss that. We'll be right back.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome back. Time for today's deep dive. And the deep dive is, as you might expect, the big update in Donald Trump's fraud case in New York State. Yesterday, finally, you had the New York State Supreme Court Appellate Division that stepped in when it came to this outrageous bond payment that Donald Trump was being forced, at least we thought, to put up as a necessary condition simply to get his right of appeal in this case. So to just make sure we're all up to speed here, in New York State, apparently it is the law when you are in a civil lawsuit that you have to, or at least the initial rule, subject to judicial modification, but the initial rule per New York State statute is that you have to post the full bond in order simply to get your right of appeal. When the bond payment, however, this is the point that I and others have made, when the bond payment is so high so as to be patently unreasonable, which I would certainly argue is the case here when it came to the $454 million bond payment that was being required of Donald Trump prior to yesterday. Many of us made the point that this amounted to a constitutional due process violation under rudimentary 5th, 14th Amendment analysis. But all of that finally changed yesterday when at the last moment, yesterday was literally the deadline. Yesterday was the deadline for Donald Trump to go ahead and post this thing or else X or else Y or Z. Or else there would have been a number of different possibilities. We ran down the whole gamut yesterday. There could have been asset seizures starting literally at 12:01 a.m. this morning. Yes, that really could have happened. Tish James, the Attorney General of New York, went ahead last week, last Thursday, Friday, around the end of last week, and started filing formal judgments with the clerk's office in Westchester County, New York, trying to put on notice Trump properties there in Westchester, such as the Seven Bridges Resort Estate there in Westchester. So Trump was on notice, and that could have happened starting as early as this morning. You know, when I recorded the show yesterday, I was preparing myself for a real black pill of an episode today, actually. I was preparing myself for the serious possibility, probably not necessarily likelihood, but at least a serious possibility that today would have been an extraordinarily bleak and dark day, whereby we would have actually started to see bank accounts frozen and assets started to be seized by an overzealous, dare I say, Stalinist attorney general of the nation's fourth largest state as it pertains to a former president and current leading presidential candidate for a major party. Absolutely wild stuff. But finally, at the last moment, lest you despair, the New York State Appellate Division finally swooped in. It was an 11th-hour ruling from a panel of Appellate Division judges. Interestingly, all these judges were appointed by Democratic governors. This is New York State, after all. I don't believe there's been a Republican governor there in New York State since George Pataki, who was governor for part of the time that I was growing up there in the Empire State. In any event, this is definitely a victory for Donald Trump. The headline, which you have presumably seen by now, is that the bond payment was lowered from $454 million to $175 million. Now, on the one hand, yes, that is still $175 million. That is a really big deal for anyone else. That is no shortage of money. But still, that is a huge fall from $454 million. That is a huge fall. And it's impossible to look at this as anything other than a victory for Donald Trump. I'm filling in all week, separate here from my duties with America on Trial, I'm filling in all week on WIOD, which is the local South Florida iHeart affiliate. And I had my buddy and fellow South Floridian John Cardello on the radio program yesterday to talk about this topic. And John, to his great credit, this is shortly before the courts swooped in and did this, he made the point, which I've made on this show too, but he made the point that the appellate division in the New York State judiciary tends to be a lot more reasonable about some of these matters than the trial court judges. And Arthur Engoron, the trial court judge in this case, certainly I think would be a paragon of unreasonableness. The fact that he said that the Trump Organization were liable prior to the fact that the trial was even over, lots of other crazy stuff like that. So big deal. Big deal for Donald Trump yesterday. $175 million. He has 10 days to post a bond. So for at least 10 days, his bank accounts are fine. His assets are not going to be freezed. We're essentially in a holding pattern here when it comes to this case for at least 10 days. Now, where is he going to get that $175 million from? Well, on the one hand, he could go ahead and get it from an insurance company. He could get it from a surety bond company, some sort of financial institution. On the other hand, he might just have it. I mean, as we were just discussing a few minutes ago during our Around the Horn segment, Bloomberg is now saying that Donald Trump is one of the 500 wealthiest men in the world, at least on paper, and his assets are mostly illiquid, but it's possible he might be able to gather $175 million in cash to actually post that bond. On the other hand, we have this Truth Social update and the fact that Donald Trump has $3.5 billion worth in shares, the lockup agreement notwithstanding. So we'll see what happens here, but certainly this is a big short-term victory for Donald Trump. Ultimately, this case remains an absolute sham and a farce straight out of the Soviet Union, and a classic example of the old Stalinist mantra of show me the man and I will find you the crime. It's loathsome and disgusting, and I think it is outrageous that more New Yorkers and entrepreneurs and businessmen are not out there in the streets rallying in support of Donald Trump, not necessarily because they might love Donald Trump, but because they might prudentially recognize the genuinely harrowing mid to long term repercussions if the attorney general of the nation's fourth largest state can simply just essentially nullify a generations long business such as the Trump Organization. But all of that notwithstanding, big day for Donald Trump yesterday in New York State. Your key takeaway: $454 million bond in the Tish James fraud case knocked down to $175 million. Donald Trump has 10 days to go ahead and get that money together there. I think he's probably going to be able to do so. My guess is that he's probably going to be able to get that together simply in cash, absent going to any kind of surety or insurance company, but that remains to be seen. But overall, a good day for Donald Trump when it comes to the fraud case there. Up next in today's closing argument, we're going to shift gears a little bit and go to the United Nations. Some shameful stuff going on there yesterday. We'll be right back.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky?
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It's time for today's closing argument. An absolutely loathsome abstention from the United States at the United Nations yesterday. The United States famously has one of the permanent seats on the United Nations Security Council, and the UN Security Council passed a resolution yesterday that had two demands. One, quote, an immediate ceasefire in Gaza for the month of Ramadan that leads to a lasting, sustainable ceasefire. And then two, the second demand was for, quote, the immediate and unconditional release of all hostages. Now, the latter demand is obviously a good thing. We all, God willing, want the hostages to be released. And lest you have forgotten, I will remind you that there are at least five American citizens still being held hostage by the Hamas jihadist organization in the subterranean terror tunnels underneath the Gaza Strip. The problem, among other things, with this resolution is that those two aims were not tied to one another. In other words, they essentially just expressed the desire for the hostages to be released without necessarily requiring hostages to be released as a condition for a short-term ceasefire during the month of Ramadan. More generally speaking, this is just the latest indication, the latest evidence that the Biden administration is just selling out our ally Israel when they are at a time of great crisis, at a time of war. This is the country's first formally declared war in a half century since the Yom Kippur War of 1973. And the United States just continues to degrade its credibility by undermining, at this point, not even standing with, but at this point, you can safely say just outright undermining one of our key allies during the middle of a war. Way back in the day, a few months ago, Biden started calling for a pause, for these various humanitarian pauses to free hostages, right? This is the game that we saw back in November and December. But these short-term pauses have now been transmogrified over time into this call for a ceasefire, for a full-lasting ceasefire. And the job is not done. The IDF is standing on the precipice of going into Rafah, which is Hamas's last stranglehold, their last stronghold in the southern Gaza Strip right on the Egyptian border. And to make an analogy, it's essentially the equivalent of telling the Allies during World War II to not go for the kill shot against Hitler and the Nazis in Berlin, but to stop in, to stop in Dresden or Frankfurt or something like that. It's absolutely despicable stuff. It harkens back to the lame duck Obama administration's decision in December 2016 to similarly abstain on another morally ignorant and legally, I should add, incorrect decision by the UN Security Council that would have declared all of Israeli quote-unquote settlements in Judea and Samaria, i.e. the West Bank, unlawful. The U.S. back then, under then-Ambassador Samantha Power and President Barack Obama, did that as a closing middle finger on their way out the door before Trump assumed the presidency 1 month later in January 2017. This right now in March 2024 is a similar act by the Biden administration. If anything, though, it is actually much worse because it comes again during a time of war. Disgusting stuff by a disgusting presidential administration. That's it for America on Trial today. Thanks as always for tuning in, folks. Leave us that five-star review. Make sure you're subscribing if you're not already doing so. And I'm Josh Hammer. We'll see you right back here tomorrow morning.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.